Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we begin by taking a look at the Ice Age National Scenic Trail. And why are we going to do that today? Well, I tell you what, we have a new book. There's a new book out that is absolutely wonderful book called Geology of the Ice Age National Scenic Trail. And one of the authors is with us today, Dave Michelson, emeritus professor and senior scientist in the Department of Geoscience at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Great to have him back. Dave, thanks for coming by today. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me.
And also with us today, Kevin Thuzius, who is director of land conservation for the Ice Age Trail Alliance. And Kevin, great to have you on as well.
Thanks. Great to be here, Larry.
And if you have some questions or comments for our guests as we move along today, have you enjoyed the Ice Age Trail? Probably haven't done the whole thing. I don't think too many people have yet. Maybe we'll find that out. Anybody, how many have?
I think we're up to approximately 60 people.
60 people have done the whole thing? All right. Well, maybe you're one of those 60, or maybe you've done a segment or a piece of a segment. What was it? What was it like? If you ever wondered what Wisconsin looked like during the Ice Age, give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, and you can post a picture, a question, or a comment there. We're also linked to a spot where you can take another look at the new book, Geology of the Ice Age National Scenic Trail. Take a look at it and even, I think, order it. So that's on our Facebook page. Dave, I'm wondering, can we go back to before the Ice Age in Wisconsin? What was the climate like? What was the terrain like before the Ice Age?
Well, temperatures really slowly dropped for 20 or 30 million years before the Ice Age actually started. So we went through a long period of time where we looked very much like Southwest Wisconsin does today. Had river valleys, probably about the same amount of relief, same distance between the river bottoms and the ridge tops. Vegetation varied from time to time from more prairie to forest, just depending on rainfall and temperature. But it wasn't until about a million years ago that ice first advanced into the U.S. from Canada. And it was really the last glaciation, the one that took place about 30,000 years ago, that really had its effect on our landscape and actually changed it.
So that was about 30,000 years. What triggered it?
Well, that's a tough question. The ice sheet had been in Canada, in the Hudson Bay area for probably 100,000 years. And it was just changes in global temperature that went down far enough to allow the glacier to advance this far south.
Yeah. And it really changed the landscape as it receded as well, I believe.
Well, I think anybody that's driven around Wisconsin very much knows that Southwest Wisconsin looks very different than the rest of the state, and it's because Southwest Wisconsin wasn't glaciated. That's the driftless area. And so, yeah, Wisconsin, the glaciers, especially the last glacier, the one we call the Wisconsin glaciation, trimmed off hilltops, filled valleys, sort of flattened the landscape.
Yeah, absolutely. And Kevin, so what is the Ice Age Trail exactly, and what does it follow?
Well, if you look at a map of the state and you see this oddly shaped trail, people often ask me, why does it have this funny shape? And certainly it does. The dream of individuals, Ray Zillmer in particular, in the 1950s, was to create a national park that commemorated this wonderful natural heritage that we have in the state. And since then, the park idea has been pulled back slightly, but not too much, to where we have this linear path, this Ice Age National Scenic Trail that follows the furthest extent of the last glaciation. And right now we've got approximately 650 miles on the ground, and when it's all said and done, it'll be roughly 1,100 or 1,200 miles.
So still a ways to go.
Still a ways to go.
And it's not an easy process, is it?
No, there certainly has its challenges to acquire land and put trail on the ground.
I would sure think so. And if you just think about the how do you describe the significance of this trail?
Well, it is one of only 11 national scenic trails in the country. It is entirely within the state of Wisconsin, and certainly when things like cheese and beer that make up the state of Wisconsin, certainly the Ice Age Trail is up there as far as recreation goes, something that really defines Wisconsin as a state.
And I'm wondering, Dave, go back to you for a minute, what are some of the common features of the Wisconsin landscape and its geology that we can attribute to the Ice Age and the retreat of the ice sheet?
Well, probably the most ubiquitous one is moraine, end moraine, or just a moraine. And that's a ridge that's built out at the edge of the glacier. And most of the Ice Age Trail follows the moraine across Wisconsin. So that's the dominant overall landform. But then within the moraine,
You know what? I bet you there are people that don't know what a moraine is. What is a moraine?
All right. Well, it's a ridge. It could be only a quarter mile wide, or it could be up to 8 or 10 miles wide, as it is in some places in northern Wisconsin, that's built out at the edge of the glacier. So the glacier is flowing out toward the edge all the time. It's picking up material, sand, clay, boulders, comes to the end, and out at the outer edge of the glacier, the ice is melting. And as it melts, it drops this debris. And so if the edge of the glacier stays in one place for a while, then this conveyor belt of the glacier piles material up into a ridge, and that's the moraine.
Yeah, and that's the moraine. And so what about lakes?
Well, we wouldn't have any lakes. We wouldn't have a tourist industry if we hadn't had the glaciation. Almost all of our lakes are because of glaciation.
Very, very cool. Dave Michelson and Kevin Thusius, our guest today. Dave is one of the authors of Geology of the Ice Age National Scenic Trail. Kevin Thusius is Director of Land Conservation for the Ice Age Trail Alliance, visiting with them today. And if you have a question or comment or an experience to share about the Ice Age Trail, I hope you'll join in. Maybe you have a question about their book as well. We haven't gotten into that yet, but we certainly will. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org or go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can post a question or a comment there, and we'd love to hear from you. The book itself, what triggered or sparked your interest in doing this book, Dave?
Well, I think the trail is really an important way for people to learn about glacial features. And Wisconsin is one of the best places in the United States to see some of these glacial features. I mean, it's called the Wisconsin Glaciation because people at the turn of the last century were impressed with the glacial features that were here in the state. So it is something that we should be proud of and be willing to show off and happy to show off. And so I thought a book that explained how some of these glacial features formed and when they formed might help hikers just understand the landscape a little better.
Well, I tell you, you've done a marvelous job because not only have you got some good writing in here, but how many photos and color photos and maps and diagrams for each section that really, I mean, if you're walking this to learn and actually have the book with you maybe, huh? And I would, when I hit a section of it, I would certainly have that book with me because it does a wonderful job of explaining what we're walking on.
Well, the book has the first 80 pages or so what are called science briefs, and those are just little 2 or 3 page explanations of things like drumlins and eskers and kettles and so on. So as people read about a trail segment, they see a word they don't remember, what does that mean? They can't quite remember how that formed. They can quickly look back to the science brief and read about it.
And then the diagrams and maps, how long did it take you guys to put this together? It must have taken a little while.
Yeah, it was about 5 years.
I was going to say.
And I'm retired, so I wasn't teaching at the same time. So it took a lot of time.
Well, it's a wonderful book, isn't it, Gavin?
Absolutely wonderful. I've been at the Ice Edge Trail Alliance approximately 11 years and spent a lot of time walking various segments of the trail. And having this great resource in my hand now, really, it's already changing the way I see the trail and segments that I've been on dozens of times before.
But sort of learning more about it for the first time.
Stop focusing on my feet and on the trail and start looking around a little bit more and understanding what's around us.
That's great. Well, Dean, we have callers online, so let's go to the phones here. Dean in Cedarburg, on to you first. Hi, Dean. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I grew up like north of Eau Claire, and someone told me about the Devil's Punch Bowl, which is just west of the Red Cedar River, like near Menominee, and south of Highway 29. And that looks like a spot where there was maybe a glacial lake at one time that quickly drained away, and this whirlpool would have just kind of cut out a path in the sandstone in the area. And I was wondering if there's, you know, going to be anything along the Red Cedar in the trail when it's done.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's, who wants to take a shot at it here?
Well, I don't know that feature in particular, but certainly the Chippewa River and the Red Cedar River carried a fair bit of water at the end of glaciation. So that may well be a feature that was eroded by water, especially if it's right in the river valley.
Oh, yes it is. When I was in college in the late 60s, someone told me that they were thinking of making that Devil's Punch Bowl into a state park. Of course, it didn't happen, but I heard the rumor. Hmm. I thought it made a lot of sense.
And it's so. How describe that Devil's Punch Bowl for us, just if you can.
Well, it's like I don't know. It's probably like 150 feet in diameter and close to round, and you know, it's just sandstone. And of course, you know,
and it looks like a punch bowl.
Yeah. And there is a little parking area where you can park your car and then walk down. And I looked it up on the internet just to see if a person could find it, and you can find pictures of it. So if anyone just does a search on Devil's Punch Bowl, they could get to see pictures of it.
We will take a look. Dave, go ahead.
Well, I wonder if it is a pothole like the features that we have in abundance at Interstate State Park. Those form at the bottom of rapidly flowing rivers that carry debris that starts to spin around on the bottom and can actually wear a hole down into the rock underneath. There are some big ones at Interstate State Park, and that may be the similar one.
Yeah, I haven't had the pleasure of visiting Interstate State Park, but I hope to someday.
Well, I bet you might well find some features there that are very similar to Devil's Punch Bowl.
And also something I wanted to say about the Red Cedar River, which I grew up near, is I think it's amazing that for a lot of the miles of its length, the two sides of the river are very different. You know, one side is pretty much flat, and the other side is quite hilly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think there's even soil differences that are significant.
Yeah, and
it could be related to the bedrock. I don't happen to have a detailed bedrock map to see, but sandstone and the dolomite or limestone up there create quite a different landscape. If you notice driving up I-94, you go through an area between Eau Claire and Menominee where they're really rounded hills, and those are sandstone. And as you get higher elevation, then all of a sudden things flatten out, and the ridges are long, flat-topped ridges, and those are dolomite. So that may be a difference in the bedrock type on either side of the river there.
Yeah, could well be. Thank you very much for calling, Dean. Appreciate your call. Dave Michelson, Emeritus Professor and Senior Scientist in the Department of Geoscience at UW-Madison, and Kevin Thusius, Director of Land Conservation for the Ice Age Trail Alliance, visiting with us today, of course, about the Ice Age Trail and about the new book we have out on called The Geology of the Ice Age National Scenic Trail. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking about the Ice Age National Scenic Trail today with Dave Michelson and Kevin Thusius. Larry Mueller here. Thank you so much for listening in. Call us at 1-800-642-1234 if you have a question. Email us at talk@wpr.org. And Roy in Appleton, it is your turn. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Well, I thank you. I've been interested in all the Marines. The Marines in my country up in northern O'Connell County are all great big rocks, but are boulders. But my real question is, with all the discussion about mining in northern Wisconsin, would that have any impact on the Ice Age Trail in the locations of the trail? I'm very, very concerned about the potential new legislation and what it might do to some of the ecology in our state. And, of course, would the Ice Age Trail be impacted?
Kevin, Thusius, you know, you're Director of Land Conservation. Let's turn to you for that.
That's a good question. We do a lot of planning when we're trying to determine exactly where to lay out the trail. We have spent literally years planning each county along the trail, trying to decide if we go to this moraine or that moraine or how we get over this river or to that river. And during the planning process, we often do meet with groups that have mining interests, and in one way, we sort of avoid the confrontation when needed, but there are areas where there is existing corridor plans or plans in place, and proposed mining may have a significant effect on either existing trail or trail that we're working toward putting on the ground. And we have to deal with those in a case-by-case situation. And regarding one particular case in Marathon County, there is a chance that we may have to either move or maybe luckily the mine will be just down the road a little ways and we won't have to move an existing portion of the trail.
All right, there we go. On to Dale in Milwaukee. Hi, Dale. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. Thank you. My comment was I'm real proud of what you folks are doing with the trail. I've been in Wisconsin all my life, and I'm going to stay here. And you with this trail, it elevates my opinion, my good opinion of Wisconsin. Thank you. That's it.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. I'm sure you get comments like that pretty often, Kevin.
Yeah. As I said earlier, we are lucky to live in this great state of Wisconsin, and the Ice Age Trail is the type of trail is a bit more common in Europe, and it's a little bit more common out west where we have a lot of federally owned and publicly owned land, and you can put a trail through there relatively easily, we'll say. My friends out west probably would not agree to easily. But in here in Wisconsin and in the Midwest in general, having these unique long-distance hiking experience is one thing that the Ice Age Trail does offer, and you don't get that too much in the area.
You know, we had an email from Tammy who says, just a plug for the Ice Age Trail section of Portage County. Our section is one of the most beautiful in the state, with chapter president Sally Freckman, who manages the site and takes a personal interest in making sure our trails are groomed and well cared for. What people don't realize is that the trail is maintained solely by volunteers. If you could put a plug into the show and get people interested in working on the trail, that'd be wonderful. And Kevin, I'm sure you'd like to do that.
yes, we'll take anybody. We have a great network, including Sally up there in Stevens Point. We have a great network of volunteer. Literally, last year we put over 60,000 volunteer hours into the Ice Age National Scenic Trail. And we continue to put those kind of numbers every year. And we have volunteer opportunities from somebody who may want to come out and work for an hour in the field or do office work, all the way to folks that have put in almost a full-time job's worth of volunteer time, retirees.
yeah.
And so you can check out a lot of volunteer opportunities at our website, too, at iceagetrail.org.
Iceagetrail.org. That's the place to go to check out potential opportunities that you could avail yourself of. Listener Bill in Columbus would like to know the effect the glaciers had on the Wisconsin Dells. Did they help form the Wisconsin Dells, Dave?
Yeah, Lake Wisconsin, or Glacial Lake Wisconsin, was our biggest glacial lake at the peak of glaciation. And so it formed sort of the central sand plain that we see south of Stevens Point down to Portage. And the dells are certainly out in the bed of that lake. As soon as the glacier started to retreat, it allowed water to escape around the east end of the Baraboo Hills. And we had a lake there that was about 140 feet deep. All of a sudden, you pull the plug, just like pulling the plug in the bathtub, and out it drained around the east end of the Baraboo Hills. And it was probably that flood that took only a couple days, probably, that cut the dells. It was that rush of water heading toward the outlet along the ice margin that cut into the sandstone, which is fairly soft and easily eroded.
That must have been a sight.
Would have been a spectacular one. I think I only know of one bigger ice age flood, and that's one out in the state of Washington. There was a very large one there, but this was a big flood.
Anthony in Sparta, on to you now. In fact, you have a comment about Glacial Lake.
I appreciate you guys taking my call. Great show today. I'm recently a graduate from UWO. Did extensive research on Glacial Lake, Wisconsin, so I'm glad to hear you talking about that. I think the amazing thing is I've lived in Wisconsin my whole life, and a lot of people that live in Wisconsin don't realize that there was this monster lake at one point in time right in the center of our state. And I mean, the size of this thing was just immense. I was hoping you'd be able to talk a little bit about the actual size of the lake itself.
Mm-hmm. Probably, Dave, can you take a guess? It was 140 feet deep.
It was 140 feet deep at basically at the dells where the ice edge was. I don't know what the area was in square miles, but it extended up almost to Stevens Point. It expanded westward until it could drain out the East Fork of the Black River. So it covered parts of the area that's below I-94, up by Mauston, for instance, and by, that whole area. Yeah, so it was a huge area, but I don't know what square miles.
Several counties.
Yeah. There is a good map of that in the book, by the way, so you can see the details of that in the book.
Yeah.
All right.
Could I say one more thing real quick?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah. So I just wanted to say, with this GIS work that I had done at UW La Crosse under Colin Belby, Dr. Belby, what we found, and that's really amazing, is if you're driving down I-90-94 just east of Coma, Wisconsin, if you look off to your west and you have a good fresh snow, you can actually see the shoreline of that Glacial Lake, Wisconsin. With all the GIS data I've put together, it's pretty defined. And if you're driving along I-90-94 south, just past Coma, you should be able to see that shoreline. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks, Anthony, very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And, Kevin, you have a big smile on your face, too. enjoying the conversation here. Anthony, again, thank you. Appreciate it. Laura in Grand Marsh, on to you. Hi, Laura.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was just wondering what impact the glacier had on the fact that we have a mid-continental divide here in the state of Wisconsin. I live in Adams County, which borders the Dells, and it runs right through Adams County. And I was also wondering if there are actually trails on the mid-continental divide. So I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, actually, the shape of the bedrock is what determines where the divides are, and that affected the shape of the ice. I think most people recognize, if you look at a map of Wisconsin, that the Door Peninsula, for instance, sticks up quite a ways toward the northeast. That's a resistant, hard rock. And then we've got softer rock to the west, where Lake Winnebago and Green Bay are.
Mm-hmm.
And so that really, it wasn't the ice shaping the land as much as the land determining the shape of the ice. So it made the ice split up into lobes. We call the Lake Michigan lobe, the Green Bay lobe, mm-hmm. and so on. And so it was that was really determining these bigger continental divides. But we do have the continental divide between water that goes into Lake Michigan and ultimately to the Atlantic versus water that goes into the Wisconsin River or Rock River systems and goes to the Mississippi and then into the Gulf.
We have Sylvia had a Facebook comment, just finished as a 1,000-miler on the Ice Age Trail. Good for Sylvia. It was an adventure of my life. Could you comment on the unique formation of Devil's Lake? I especially love the rocks, wildflower, trees, and plants I learned about and the tower side trips.
Yeah, well, Devil's Lake is a beautiful place. I think it's one of the most visited parks in the state, if not the most, and I think you could see why if you know that landscape. The rock there is called quartzite. And it's called Baraboo quartzite, and it's older than the rocks surrounding it. So the age of those rocks is about 1,700 million years old.
Yeah.
So those are called what are called Precambrian rocks, and they're much older than the softer sandstone and limestone that surround it. And during the mountain building phase, just after 1,700 million years ago, those rocks were buried deeply and folded. So the rocks are tilted. They're not laying flat like they were when they were deposited at the bottom of the ocean. They were then covered by hundreds of feet of sandstone and limestone. And then through the last probably 70 million years, erosion has removed that cover, and we're back down to that quartzite, very hard, very resistant rock. The same kind of rock is in the Blue Hills. In the northern part of the state, and the Ice Age Trail goes across, has several segments that cross the Blue Hills quartzite as well. It's the same age.
Very cool. Well, we have Gray Ghost from Luck, Wisconsin on board here next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Yes, I hiked the trail in 2009 and have no question, just the comment of how well the trail is being built and established, and the group that Kevin and his co-workers that make it a real experience out there. Can't say enough for all the volunteers that work on that trail and how they organize them.
No, thank you very much for calling. And Kevin, I'm sure you appreciate that. Maybe you could talk a little bit about the Ice Age Trail Alliance and what it does.
I'd like to first thank the Gray Ghost after his through hike has become a very effective and great volunteer for us. So thanks a lot. The Ice Age Trail Alliance, we have approximately 9 staff right now, 10 staff that some full-time, some part-time. And our job is to really to do several things. We ensure that we do land acquisition for the trail. We try to protect the trail. We promote it. And we work with our local volunteer chapters. We have 21 volunteer chapters throughout the state. We make sure that they have the tools, the know-how, the capacity to keep the trail open. The trail is our focus. And I noticed in the folk, Sylvia, I think was her name, had said that she likes the rocks, the trails, or the trees and the birds. It seems like everybody finds something else out there. And, and some of those folks, what they find out there is camaraderie through volunteering. Something about giving back, and those we're seeing more and more folks that tell us that's what they get the most out of is volunteering and helping put something into the trail. Our main office is located in Cross Plains, Wisconsin, and it's just an office building, but we welcome visitors anytime.
All right, there you go. We have emails here. Rod in Appleton said, Professor Fred Thwaite, his class in 1948 in glacial geology, mentioned one of the many theories on causes of ice advance, warming regardless of cause. Is there any support today for this link between warming, sea rise, and glaciation? And Dave Michelson?
Well, it's interesting that somebody still remembers Fred Thwaites. He was a glacial geologist in our department for a long time. Well, it's a complex relationship between glaciers and climate. Warming right at the ice edge causes the ice to retreat, but warming typically is associated with increased precipitation. And if that precipitation falls as snow, then it can, in fact, cause the glacier to advance. So the warming we're undergoing now is strong enough that most glaciers now are retreating. even though it's, there are a few that are advancing, and they're advancing just because they accumulate at high elevation where an increase in precip causes an increase in accumulation of ice. But most glaciers are retreating.
Ben in Wausau, on to you now. Hi, Ben.
Oh, hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm actually, it's funny, I should, you guys should be having this show on today. I'm actually driving to the Ice Age Trail today. I work on trail. I take groups of kids backpacking on the Art Loeb Loop just outside of Medford. And I'll be up there until the day after Christmas. And we do a lot of trail maintenance on the Art Loeb Loop there on the Ice Age Trail. So it's fantastic to hear all this history. I'll be sure to pass this on to my group of kids. My question is about the trail, which is, you know, it's still being built. I'm curious if there's ever been any thought to putting something further in the Driftless area. I know that it's not part of the ice flow, but it was part of, you know, Wisconsin's history pre-Ice Age. So I'm just curious, such a beautiful part of the state, if there's ever any thought of putting trail down there to sort of show the before and the after kind of thing.
And I should mention, Ben, that you, I think the book, Geology, the new book here, Geology of the Ice Age National Scenic Trail, might be really useful for you as you're teaching other people about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But go ahead, Kevin, you...
Yeah, Ben, that's a good point. If you look on our website or any drawing of the Ice Age National Scenic Trail, we do get out into the Driftless area a little bit, and there's in the middle of the state, there's sort of this donut hole called a bifurcation, and the western fork of that bifurcation will indeed interpret some of the, go further into the Driftless area and help interpret some of those areas. That's probably quite a few years off before we get to the planning and then eventual construction of the trail there, but it is on our radar and has been part of the plan since the beginning for the Ice Age Trail.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And Susie in Scandinavia, on to you now. Hi, Susie.
Hi, wonderful show, wonderful trail. We spent a little time on it in the around the Skunk Lake section in Waupaca County, which is very close to our farm, and we just love seeing those Ice Age trail markers. Any chance, if I say pretty please, you would consider allowing equestrian use of the trail at selected times during the year? Trail riding, horseback riding has become really very popular. And I ride with numbers of folks in central Wisconsin that would just love to access the Ice Age Trail at appropriate times of the year. Any thoughts about that?
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Kevin, what do you think?
When the federal government signed the National Scenic Trail Act, and the Ice Age Trail became a National Scenic Trail in 1980, it was done so as a footpath. And so the brief answer is, sorry, Susie, no. And then since then, we design and we construct the trail for footpath. It's 18 inches wide in many cases. It's of natural surface, and we don't clear it quite high enough and even maintain it for horse use. But and so putting horses on there would indeed... would require different standards and would require us to go back to Congress and get that changed.
All right. There you go.
I guess I have to call my congressman.
Yep. Thanks, Susie.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Mary in Madison, on to you. Hi, Mary.
Hello. Yes, always appreciate Geology Wisconsin. I have a question about bifurcation. If you have time, but what I called about is Leopold Memorial Woods. There's a ravine that maybe is sandstone or limestone, something soft, but there's also a rock formation that kind of looks like it's exuded from the ground. I'm not using the right terminology. And it almost looks like a modern sculpture. It's very hard edge and cubic. It looks like cubes of black piled on top of one another. And I was wondering, how do you explain that?
Well, if this is up by the Dells?
It's by Baraboo, Leopold okay. Memorial Woods.
Mm-hmm. Well, the sandstone in much of southern Wisconsin has places where iron and magnesium have cemented the sand grains together. And the magnesium is black in color, manganese. And I have a feeling that's what it is, that it can form some layers that are inch or even a couple inches thick in the sandstone. And then when that breaks up, it would be in tabular pieces. So maybe that's what you're referring to.
Could well be. Thank you, Mary, for calling. And I want to give Hezekiah and Viola a chance to join in. Hi, thank you for calling.
Thank you for having this show. It's nice to hear. I live about 10 miles to the east of Iroquois in the Driftless. I'm about 1,900 feet above sea level. And this year, we dug out a basement. I'm on top of a ridge. And the soil, I want to ask you about the soil, if you can answer it. It was this most unusual formation. It's red clay, bright red clay that's impermeable, mixed with every time the backhoe hit the ground, you know, smoke would kick up like there was flint down there. And then there were these rocks that were brown crystalline. And somebody told me it was called karst. What am I looking at?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what you're looking at is actually fairly common in parts of the Driftless area. That red clay is a residual soil. It's what's accumulated over millions of years as the limestone or the dolomite, which is calcium carbonate or calcium magnesium carbonate, has weathered and been dissolved, leaves behind that red clay. And in the red clay, there are pieces of what's called chert, silica dioxide.
Mm-hmm.
And if your tool, the steel, hits the silica, that's what can produce sparks. And
sure.
That's the way you start a fire. So, that's exactly what you describe is just exactly what you find in places where there's limestone in the Driftless area.
Thank you very much for calling. And, we have lots more questions here. Unfortunately, we are out of time. But I tell you what, if you had a question, I would almost guess it's going to be answered in this book, new book that's out called Geology of the Ice Age National Scenic Trail. Dave Michelson, the lead author, one of our guests today, our other guest today, Kevin Thusius, a director of land conservation for the Ice Age Trail Alliance. We have a link to where you can get a copy of the Geology of the Ice Age National Scenic Trail. And it's on your, I assume, on your website, Kevin, as well.
Yes, and we do offer a member discount if purchased from our website and if you are a member.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for being with us. We'll look forward to another visit from you, too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Dave Michelson is an emeritus professor, senior scientist in the Department of Geoscience at UW-Madison. Kevin Thusius, director of land conservation for the Ice Age Trail Alliance. Well, the Ice Age Trail is there for us to enjoy because of good management and good care of the land. And one of the pioneers in land and wildlife management for our country spent much of his life and career right here in Wisconsin, Aldo Leopold. And his family left a wonderful legacy that we all enjoy. Coming up next, we'll talk with the authors of two books for young people about Aldo Leopold and his life and work. Stay tuned for more interesting conversation here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.